Hello, how y'all doing tonight? Good. So Brother Andrew is going to be helping me out with an illustration for us real quick. It's going to be a little spelling bee. So if you could come up here, Brother Andrew. So first, could you spell fort for us?
F-O-R-T.
Okay. Now spell folk.
F-O-L-K.
Now spell coke.
C-O-K-E.
Now joke.
Why were the little strawberries upset? Oh, you wanted me to tell a joke or?
No, spell joke for us. Okay. Yes.
Okay. J-O-K-E.
Now, what is the white part of the egg called?
The white.
Hey, there you go. There you go. Thank you, sir. So, Brother Andrew, obviously, he took the time to think about it, and he didn't just say yolk, right? That would have been the easy, now, y'all can all go to work, go to school, you can play all these pranks on your friends now, unless they're watching it by live stream, I guess. But the whole idea is Brother Andrew, he kind of had an idea of what my end goal was. So he knew what my goal was, and he was able to adjust accordingly, correct? Because if I were to try to take someone from the crowd now and try to do that same thing, it wouldn't work, right? In that same way, we're in Luke 14 tonight. The Pharisees invited Jesus to come to one of the chief Pharisees' house. And we kind of find out because of the reason he brought them, it wasn't a plain little joke, but they had a plot to try to discredit Jesus by finding a fault in him. Now, us here at church, we're here on a Wednesday night at church. We know that Jesus is without fault, and Jesus is God, right? So he knew everything, and he knew exactly what the goal of these Pharisees were. But right here, we're going to look at the way Jesus responds. We're going to look, and really, the secret weapon that they're going to try to use against him is the law. But you know what? Jesus knows the secret weapon, right? And we're going to learn from Jesus in this passage, and his example in this passage on where he went, what he said, and what his ultimate goal was with the Pharisees here. So let's go ahead and in Luke 14, let's read verses 1 through 6. And it came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace, and he took him and healed him and let him go. And answered them, saying, which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the day. I thank you for giving us a time that we can come together. We can worship you in a song. We can worship you in giving. And we can also come here to learn from your word tonight. Be with me as I preach, Lord. Give me the words to say. And help, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will work through the hearts and lives of everyone here, including me, so that we can bring honor and glory to you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you're writing notes, our title today is Christ's Ultimate Goal. Because what we're looking today is we're looking at Christ is giving us a great example through this passage. And we're going to learn about his ultimate goal with his conversation here with the Pharisees. So the first thing we notice is that Christ went to the Pharisees' house. Now that's something interesting to me because I feel like if I knew that someone was going to do everything they could to try to make me stumble or to make me mess up, I would probably hightail it and run. I would definitely be nervous about trying to do that. That would not be the instinctive thing is not to go to the people who really have thoughts of ill will and malice towards you. Like we said earlier, we know Jesus is God. He knew that this was a trap. And he knew that they had malicious reasons to have him there. I'm sure the disciples probably were kind of a little curious as well, because there's not a good track record with the Pharisees on how they treated Jesus. But why do you think Jesus went? The reason why, I believe, is that Jesus loved them. That's why he wanted to be there with them. He wanted to show his love to those Pharisees. But you know what? He knew that there was a trap. He knew that they were doing everything they could to make him stumble and make him to say something or do something wrong. So we have to see that Jesus had to prepare their hearts before they would begin to listen to what he had to say. So the second thing we see that Christ had asked them questions. So let's look at that first question there in verse 3. It says, "And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?" So Jesus is asking them, I mean, it seems like a fairly simple question. It's like, is it okay? Is it within the realm of the law to heal on the Sabbath day? But these Pharisees and these lawyers, they had studied the law. And we see there in verse 4, it says, "And they held their peace." And I was thinking about why they would just instantly just hold their peace. They wouldn't make an answer and have a reason. But I was thinking about it, and to think about if they would have said yes, then that means if they would have said yes, it's okay to heal on the Sabbath day, who's going to be getting the glory from Jesus healing on the Sabbath day? It would be God through Jesus, right? God would be getting the glory. But these Pharisees are diametrically opposed. They are the exact opposite of what Christ is. They're trying to do the opposite. So they couldn't really say yes, because then what their ultimate goal for being there was to find fault in Jesus. And if they said it was okay to heal on the Sabbath day, then how could they find fault with him doing so? But if they said no, I mean, really, if they said no, they would be coming off as jerks to the man there with the dropsy. And the whole idea of healing somebody is a good thing. Why would they say no to saying, oh, well, you can't heal on the Sabbath day? That's just, it's an illogical thing for us to say. So, I mean, really, in a smart way, they kept quiet. They shut their mouth, right? So, I personally think that with Jesus here, when he is asking them this question, what he's trying to do is he's trying to get them to kind of, to not think about their plot, but try to get them to genuinely listen to what he's saying and to watch him and what he's doing. So we see that, you know, after this first question, Jesus goes and heals this man and on the Sabbath day and sends him away. Something that really interests me, though, is what Jesus does with this second question. I believe the second question, Jesus really cuts to the heart of the matter. Let's read it in verse 5 and 6. It says, "And answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day?" So we think of the first question, which is it okay to heal a human being on a Sabbath day? And they didn't answer him. And then Jesus goes to a different question. He's like, well, if you had an animal and it fell into a pit, wouldn't you go straight away and help that animal? Now, the law makes exception for doing such. This was kind of a rhetorical question from Jesus. He's making them think. Because, I mean, if they would have said no for this first question, then it would have been, obviously, we would have known that they were kind of having a bad attitude, being jerks, and it would have really their relationship with the people would have been stressed. But then we look at the second question, and really, if Jesus would have went to a Pharisee and asked him this question, well, if your animal fell into a hole on the Sabbath day, what would you do? I'm sure that Pharisee in that question by itself would have said, of course, I would go help him. The Bible gives us, or the law gives us liberty to do so. But Jesus is, these two questions in unison kind of are very thought-provoking for these Pharisees. Because if these Pharisees would say, yes, of course, it's okay to help your ox out of a pit so he doesn't die and to not be cruel to an animal there on the Sabbath day, well, what does that say about healing a human being? Jesus is using this to really to cut past all the excess, all the garbage that they're trying to put towards him, just to get cut to the heart of the matter, get straight into their hearts, to understand that, you know what, because these Pharisees were probably thinking, we're having this a difficult time here, but Jesus really is asking these men if the life of an animal was worth enough to have a Sabbath exemption, wouldn't it be so much more that someone should be healed on the Sabbath day? Of course. Now, let me give you a little bit of background on the Pharisees, just to kind of help us to more deeply understand where we're coming from here with the way the Pharisees and Jesus had this relationship. Because these Pharisees, there were 613 laws in the Old Testament. And these Pharisees, they took these laws and they added their own. Because this is their whole idea that they were thinking. They were thinking, well, you know what? It says, the Bible says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And there was there very well could have been a good-hearted person who thought, well, you know what? How am I going to keep the Sabbath holy? You know what? I am not going to go do anything on the Sabbath. I'm going to stay. I'm going to go to the synagogue and come back and not do anything else. I'm going to make that. I'm not going to travel more than such and such number of miles. Well, then he goes on and he makes this rule. And then there's another guy who, unfortunately, with human nature, we end up trying to do things from a human perspective. So then the next guy might come up and say, well, you know what? I'm not gonna leave my house. I'm just gonna sit in this chair. I'm not even gonna get up out of my chair. And then they would bring those laws and so much more. But then you know what? If this guy who says, you know what, I'm not gonna even leave my house, and then his ox falls into a pit, well, you know what? He's already made this quote unquote law that he's not gonna leave his house. But then his ox is in a pit. He has a problem. He has to figure out what to do with that problem. So the problem, so he would make an exception to the rule. That's what the Pharisees did, because they took these laws, they added more laws that were man-made and not God-made, and they used these laws, and then they made exceptions to them and workarounds, and it became so much about the laws that they were trying to make. And they forgot the whole premise of the law, which was remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Because you know what? I know for me, I could make all sorts of reasons on what the things I am or am not going to do on Sunday in honor of the Sabbath day here. I could make all sorts of things, say, oh, I'm not gonna watch any TV. I'm not gonna do anything. And then I could end up saying, well, you know what? I'm going to make an exception. I'm going to make an exception for me to play video games. And then you know what? You could start off with a good human thing that you say, oh, you know what? I'm going to make this certain rule that's going to be for my life. But then make an exception for it in your own mind. That is one of the big problems with humanity in general, is we tend to justify things in our own hearts and our own lives. So these Pharisees here, they forgot what the basis of righteousness was. They made it a God. They took God's standards for righteousness, which none of us could ever become. They made those, and then they started making their own man-made rules and man-made standards, so much so that they forgot God's standards for righteousness. Now, something that we really need to think about here is, what was the reason that God gave us the law? You know what? The great thing about the Bible is now let's look at, real quick, we're going to look at Jesus' goal for the Pharisees. Now, this is our third point, is Jesus' goal for the Pharisees was to see them saved, right? Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the whole reason he came to earth. Right? But you know what? These Pharisees, Jesus was using the law that was their basis behind everything. And they didn't think about what the true reason of having law was. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 24 and 25. And Brother Tony, I will say, I really do love hearing the pages turning. It is a great sound. Amen. And that's Galatians chapter 3, verses 24 and 25. It says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. And verse 26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. These verses right here, they're saying that they're giving us the reason that the law was given. The reason that the law was given to Moses and to the Israelites. That law was given as a schoolmaster. What is that? But where does that apply to us? These laws, they were given to show us that we needed a Savior. Because these laws, 613 laws, I don't think there are that many driving laws here in Texas. There very well could be. I don't know off the top of my head how many there are. But you know what? Even the average driver, we all know that you've probably forgot to stop at a stop sign before. Maybe you didn't all the way stop when you were turning right when it was a red light. Maybe you went a couple miles an hour over the speed limit. You know what? In that same way, we have these 613 laws. They're not supposed to show us that, you know what, if you try really hard, you can finally do it. You can finally hit that 613th law. Because you know what? What the Bible says, if you have offended in one point, you're guilty of all. If you sinned one little place, then you're guilty of every single sin. So right here, Jesus is trying to use the law how it's supposed to be used. He's trying to get these Pharisees to understand that, you know what, it's the whole point of the law is not to just keep the law and not to just make yourself self-righteous, because that's what the Pharisees were. They were very self-righteous people trying to say, look, oh, you over there, I'm better than you because you haven't kept all the law. But no, he's trying to use the law to show them that, look, you don't understand the purpose of the law. This is supposed to show you that you need God, that you need to be saved. Because if you've messed up, then you're guilty of breaking all the law. So first we looked at why Jesus went to the Pharisees. He went to the Pharisees so he could show them love. And then you know what? Jesus asked them some questions to get the excess out of the way so that he could point right to the issue, which was their hearts. And he used the law there to show them of their sin, to show them where they're wrong so that they could get saved. This right here, this Jesus here is giving us an example for us for when we share the gospel. Now, and we could go into Romans chapters 1-3, and the Bible talks a lot about that and how that the Gentiles, they don't know the law because you know what? Really, the Gentiles back in those days did not know the Old Testament. They did not know the law of Moses. They did not know those things that they needed to know so that they could realize that they needed a Savior. And then we can look at how in Romans 2 it talks about how that the Jews, they have heard the law and they knew the law, but they forsook it. And actually, I want to read that verse because it's a really good verse. Let's read in Romans 3:2. I'm going to read that for us real quick. It says, much every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. Verse 3 says, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? So in verse 4 says, God forbid. What these verses are talking about here is it talks about how the Jewish people, they heard the law. They knew the law. It says, the Bible says there, it says, unto them were committed the oracles of God. But you know what? A lot of those, especially the Pharisees in this time, did not believe. They did not know the law. They knew the law with a head knowledge, but they didn't know the heart knowledge of the law that was supposed to show them that they needed a Messiah, they needed a Savior. So, after reading and studying this passage, it really helps us see a few really important applications that we can use in our everyday witnessing. First thing I see is that Jesus, he went to these Pharisees, and you know what? He didn't go up to them, and he could have very easily pointed at the first Pharisee he saw and started naming off every single sin that he'd ever done. Because Jesus is God, he knows everything. He could have easily done that. And he could have easily, or really, which would have been the human answer to these Pharisees inviting Jesus to go eat with them, it very easily could have been to turn his nose up and walk away because he didn't want to be around these people who were very self-righteous. Those are the human responses to this. But Jesus, he comes to these Pharisees with a heart of love. He shows them that he looks past all of their self-righteousness, and he knows it's there, but he wants to show these people their sin because he wants to show himself to them. He wants to show these Pharisees that he's the Messiah and that he came there to save his people from their sins. So we can apply that in our own lives. When we go, and I'll tell you, I work at Chick-fil-A, and it's a great place, but by no means is it perfect. There are things that I could easily like get under my skin, could be things that they might not have been done in the most perfect way, and I think that they were handled the wrong way. I could take those things and I could get mad, but you know what? There's a problem that with every single one of us here. We're sinners. And you know what? When we try to correct every single little wrongdoing that we do, someone else could come right behind you and do the same thing to you, remember? Because we're all sinners. But when we try to do that, we're treating the symptoms rather than treating the problem. Because if someone, let's say someone has the flu and they're coughing, you know what? You can take some cough medicine all day long, but if you really need to take antibiotics to really get better. If you can treat the symptoms all day long, but if you don't treat the root cause of things, you're never going to get better. In that same way, we are all sin sick. And the problems with that come, the symptoms of that come out in the bad things that we do. Because the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. But we look here and we look at how, the first thing is I noticed is that Jesus comes to them with a heart of love. And the second thing is, the second thing I noticed is he knows who he's dealing with. He knows who he's talking to. If Jesus would have went to a bunch of Gentiles and started treating them the exact same way he treated a Pharisee or a lawyer, someone who knows the law, he comes to these men with the presupposition where he already knows that they're well-versed in the law of Moses. If he were to go to a Gentile like that, There would be no way for them to really truly understand what he was talking about. Let me give you a good example of this. 2 years ago, I went to Thailand on a month-long missions trip. And the people there are Buddhist. Many of those people, other than culture in America, and seeing American culture, maybe watching American TV shows or movies, they don't know who Jesus is. Some people think that Jesus is just a curse word. Think about that. That's crazy. But the people there, if I were to go up to somebody in Bangkok, Thailand, and say, hey, here's a Bible, this is what I believe, and just give it to them and say, hey, this is the most important book you're ever going to read. You know what? They could read that book, but they don't really understand. They would have never known who Jesus was. They don't know that Jesus created everything. They don't have all the back knowledge and the understanding that we do here in America. We, as much as There's been a great fight against it. We are very much a Christian and a Christian-based society. In that same sense, it would be like, let's bring it home and bring it personal. It would be like a Buddhist person knocking on your door at home tomorrow and saying, "Hey, I'd like to talk to you about Buddha." I know for me, and I'm sure for many of the people here, it would probably be a foreign concept to even think about Buddha being a real entity. Well, in a very similar way, the people of Thailand, they don't understand Jesus as a real entity. And that's my job. I feel God has called me to Thailand. I feel like that is my job, to show them the Bible and to show them that it is a true book, that is the word of God written for us, and to show them about and tell them about Jesus and how he died on the cross for our sins so that they can know how to get saved. Now, I know personally, I like to talk. I'm a big talker. I like to talk to a lot of people about a lot of things. But through my own strength, there's no way I could ever do this. That's why I'm trusting in God and trusting in his call in my life and trusting in the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me in what I need to say and what I need to do and the relationships I need to build with people when I get there to bring honor and glory to God. Because this is nothing I can do in my own strength. It is all what God can do through me. So everyone, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. First of all, I'd like to just thank the Lord that he has given us his Bible, shown us through his word how we can learn about him. But I want to really challenge everyone here. You know what? There very well could be some people here who don't know Jesus as their personal Savior. And they might not know if you die today that you're going to go to heaven. When the invitation starts, I'd urge you, if you don't know who Jesus is and if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I urge you to come forward and talk to somebody here.